It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Shannon Bream.
I'm Tom Shalhoub.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, April 5th, 2022. I'm John Saucier. This war in Ukraine has taken a rather ugly turn recently, with new video out of dead civilian bodies laying out of the streets of the town of Bucha, Ukraine. That's a suburb of the capital city of Kiev, one in which the Russian military has just pulled back from. We've seen in many wars and conflicts throughout history where a heinous act caught on video or television tips the attitude towards a war from interest to anger.
It is heartbreaking as well to watch the atrocities continue while the UN's charter is basically being attacked by Russia and others for their negligence and for taking actions that are directly contrary to the charter.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War in Ukraine.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky addressing the UN Security Council on Tuesday morning, calling for an effective United Nations for the next generation. His anger and despair growing as this war drags on and his people are slaughtered. We saw images of charred and rotting bodies from several Ukrainian cities filling the screen at this hearing, at times shocking members to silence. President Zelensky says there is no crime the Russian troops would not commit.
They shot and killed women outside their houses when they just tried to call someone who is alive. They killed entire families, adults and children, and they tried to burn the bodies.
The president, speaking through a translator there, Russia's denying killing civilians in Ukraine, alleges without evidence that it was actually Ukraine's army. Instead, President Biden says he's considering further sanctions against Russia. The European Union's moving to ban Russian coal imports.
It's heartbreaking to witness this in our times. This goes back centuries in barbaric ways that we have to address this using modern international machinery is quite stunning to me.
Today, we're speaking with a man who knows the United Nations very well. Hugh Dugin spent 26 years as a UN delegate and also served in the Trump administration on the National Security Council as Senior Director for International Organizations.
But nonetheless, the machinery is there. It's meant to be used. We have to use it effectively. And I think Zelensky is doing the best he can to respect the United Nations organization, the prevailing international machinery, as a resource to resolve an unspeakable crisis in this country.
In your assessment, is the United Nations failing Ukraine? I mean, when you see these videos of dead bodies lying in the streets, it's shocking to anyone, but especially so to an organization that is supposed to be upholding international law.
It is heartbreaking as well to watch the atrocities continue while the UN's charter is basically being attacked by Russia and others for their negligence and for taking actions that are directly contrary to the charter. It weakens the international order when agreements are neglected and when Russia continues to abuse its privileges as a UN member in order to exercise its own advantage militarily and otherwise in inhumane ways.
Let's talk about the Russian side of this, because their propaganda and for what they're saying so far is that these videos are fabrications made by Ukraine to make them look bad. Do you think there is any validity to that whatsoever?
No, I don't think so. And it's a typical means of Russian trying to outsize its importance in the world, trying to diminish Western and other orderly institutions in the world for its own advantage. And it's a bad habit of lying that we've seen over and over again, not just in the Ukraine theater, but throughout the Syria crisis at the UN and other ways, too.
We've heard from President Biden earlier suggesting that President Putin was a war criminal. Earlier this week, we heard the president talking about how he would like to see an investigation on war crimes going on. That's not an easy task. Can you talk about what exactly would have to happen for some sort of war crimes tribunal or charges to be brought up against Vladimir Putin?
That would take months, if not years, and not to say it's not worth pursuing, but the crisis is happening right in front of us right now. And for us to be distracted with procedures that are basically academic, meant to right wrongs in the long term, is a misuse of our attention at this point.
So you think that there are more pressing issues in the current theater than instead of going right after Putin right now. So what can we do to try and help stop this, at least from the perspective of the United Nations?
Well, we can go after him right now. It's just that the International Court of Justice and other machinery like that are take too much time, and we can't afford that type of time. It can happen eventually. What we could do right now is to look at Russia's standing in the organization, in the United Nations, the legitimacy of their place in the organization. I believe our ambassador to the UN has called for their removal from the organization. That would be an extraordinary thing to undertake, and South Africa was very much criticized for its apartheid decades ago, and its membership was suspended and its privileges were affected, but never were they kicked out, and no other country has been. But this is the type of atrocity whereby the member states of the organization and the General Assembly have to seriously consider the good faith of this country and whether or not it exists any longer, because the privileges that Russia enjoys as a permanent member of the Security Council are meant to protect its interests. What it's doing is promoting its interests behind the shield of the veto, behind the shield of its membership. When we had the Gulf War crisis, we were able to act within hours, if not just days, of that invasion by Saddam Hussein into Kuwait. That's because Saddam did not have the veto. He could not stop the UN Security Council from taking action. Unfortunately, this aggressor is a member of the Security Council and has the power of veto over any of his decisions. It's using that to its advantage. It's exploiting its advantage. The veto is meant to protect the interests of a major power until other arrangements can be found to resolve whatever situation is causing trouble. That's the veto. It's not meant to be a shield to promote an actor to go out and commit the most barbarous acts of violence that we've seen in our lifetimes.
So if Russia is using their veto, the United Nations Security Council, to protect themselves from possible sanctions or expulsion, is there any way to undo the fact that they have that veto, or are we just kind of stuck in a relentless cycle here where Russia is committing these alleged atrocities and getting away with it because they're big enough power to just veto any sort of sanctions that come up in the Security Council?
There is in the UN Charter a provision whereby the membership of the General Assembly may meet and so decide whether to expel a member who's violated the principles and purposes of the Charter. It's never happened. It would be an extraordinary list. It's what's required at this point. There has to be a consideration by the full membership beyond the recent resolution of the General Assembly that condemned Russia and that called for a cease of their aggressions. There has to be now more consequence, and that's the problem in international law. We pass norms and principles and standards. How do we enforce them? In international law, it's very difficult to create the teeth necessary to enforce and create consequences that really matter to an aggressor. And there are very few levers. The Security Council has power to authorize action, military action beyond economic and other sanctions to aggressors. However, Russia can avoid those Security Council findings because they can veto that outcome. So it's up to the full membership of the General Assembly to sit down and say that this country has violated the principles of the Charter in such a way that they must consider its expulsion immediately.
Today we brought in an expert, a man named Hugh Dugan, who has spent plenty of time, years as a UN delegate, who had reaction today to a major meeting of the UN Security Council featuring graphic images of Ukrainian citizens slaughtered allegedly by the Russian military. We'll have much more on this and what it means going forward and how Russia is allegedly manipulating the UN all after this short break. That's really interesting to me because it seems like Russia is using the UN's rules against them in this instance and using them as an excuse to get away with what are alleged war crimes. And we've all seen the videos of these dead bodies in the streets. It's shocking for anyone to have to look at that and think, okay, how can Russia get away with this in what we consider a civilized world? It's year 2022 and this type of stuff is happening. It's just really terrible. We're speaking today with Hugh Dugan, who spent years as a United Nations delegate, so he knows exactly how this goes down as far as the rules, the parliamentary procedure in the United Nations, so on and so forth. And again, if Russia is using the UN's rules against them to be able to promote this war in Ukraine, how do you think Ukraine feels about that?
Ukraine is behaving in an exemplary fashion. They are a model international citizen. The president himself came to the Security Council again today. He asked for assistance. He described the efforts at self-defense that they've had to undertake. Short of international collective action and collective security on Ukraine's behalf, Ukraine is fully entitled to its self-defense measures. And he dutifully reported this to the Security Council by way of energizing them to take collective security actions by which they are authorized to assist in maintaining international peace and security in that region. And this international peace and security is threatened even beyond the region, because the crisis has enveloped other countries, other parts of the world, due to food shortages that are being instituted by the limitation of exports from Ukraine to vulnerable populations elsewhere in the world. And there are many other knock-on effects from this crisis that are affecting international peace and security beyond those few borders. So we're interested in seeing whether the Security Council and the membership take to heart President Zelensky's calls today, not just for help, but he went so far in such a foresighted way to actually call for reform of the United Nations. He didn't go there and criticize them and say you're useless. He went there and said you have potential and this is how we can make this organization work better and harder. He actually proposed hosting a conference somehow or another under these present circumstances, hosting a conference of international actors in Ukraine to help the UN understand how better it could promote international peace and security in these times. He's got that foresight, which I don't know where he finds the courage and the time and the resources to think 2 miles beyond the horizon. But that's what he tried to do on behalf of the organization for its own sake, for its own viability in the future as a going concern. Because if it doesn't show up at this time under these circumstances, which any child in the world can see needs to be addressed, if the UN cannot rise and figure out how to overcome the hurdles in front of it, it truly is putting itself into the dustbin of history.
Yeah, it's really one of the many amazing moves that have been made so far in the face of extreme pressure, violence, and death by the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who continues to not only impress the world, but inspire the people who are fighting for their own survival. Okay, I want to talk about some of the people in Russia who have left because they're opposed to this war, specifically some higher-ranking officials, but not everyone. You wrote an article recently about a special envoy for Russia who calls this invasion of Ukraine unconscionable. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yes, it is impressive to see Russians of all types saying that this is untenable, people being arrested in the street, and even senior officials of the Putin administration distancing themselves and walking away from it. But there's one very senior person who has not walked away and who should be kicked out of his job. At the UN, the Secretary General employs senior secretariat officials, and the rank just below him are called Undersecretaries General, of which there is one who is a Russian. And this Russian has the temerity to run an office that manages counterterrorism matters in the world for the last 5 years. While his country and his immediate, so to speak, boss, Vladimir Putin, is conducting the largest terrorist campaign known to mankind in memory, this man is sitting in the highest reaches of the Secretariat, attending all of the cabinet meetings, basically eavesdropping, and then probably most likely reporting right back to Putin what the Secretary General and the others might be contemplating to try to quell this Russian activism. So this man has to go, Vladimir Voronkov. He's the Undersecretary General for Counterterrorism at the UN. He wraps himself in the UN flag, sits there in those meetings, and is undoubtedly reporting back to his master in Moscow, Vladimir Putin.
It's really absolutely astonishing stuff when you get into the nitty-gritty of how Russia is acting in the United Nations, and they actually seem to be using it towards their advantage, but not in what seems to be a fair way. And on the other hand, you've got Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky acting in a heroic way towards the United Nations. It's really some of the layers of this war that haven't been reported on extensively, and that's why we like to get into some of the deep details of this, because this war on Ukraine runs far deeper than just them attacking Mariupol and attacking the outskirts of Kiev. Russia's doing everything they can to make this difficult on Ukraine and also give themselves an advantage, whether it be unfair or not. Hugh Dugan, we really appreciate your time and insight for joining us on the Fox News Rundown War in Ukraine podcast.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.